The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
So we're getting the 9 o'clock. That's radio for the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you. I wonder anyone, probably not, but wouldn't it be funny if, because they're kind of an older band, I hope somebody on the station says we're giving away tickets to Jeff Lynne's ELO. Because there's no little dots after the ELO. Somebody say ELO.
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 Yeah, you're basically saying Alan.
I did not say it. Well, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Whitey's probably been to a couple of ELO.
Probably
concerts.
Used their music as a backdrop for one of his songs, I'm sure.
So, did you see Whitey put out a song a week ago?
He's done that a couple times lately.
I missed those.
Yeah.
Whitey's mad at
me. Super talented.
Whitey's mad at me.
The wickedly talented.
Did you know he's mad at me?
No, why?
Yeah, he's mad. I'll tell you off the air. Oh. I don't think he's for real mad at me.
Oh. I told Chris. I would say frustrated.
I shouldn't be frustrated. That's bothering. You know, the other thing is he texted me on Friday what I'm talking about, which I can't share, which I know is bad radio. He texted me a thing, and then like all weekend it bothered me.
Oh,
all,
now I want to know.
All weekend long. And the worst part is I went to Chris and I was like, hey, man. So like, is this, you know, I feel like this, is this, should this be? Chris is like, well, actually, dude. I'm like, really? He's 100% on Whitey's side. Well, it's not a side. I'm not arguing.
Okay.
I believe I answered, well, when you look at it from his perspective.
I think when Whitey is mad at me. We are giving away ELO tickets, though. We'll do that in the 9 a.m. And that's right after Frankie comes on.
Yes.
Right at 9 a.m. Brock Purdy. Hey
now.
Brock Purdy wins my 2023/24 weirdest media coverage of anything sports related award. I just didn't understand. And I really tried to do the whole, well, you're a Niner fan, you're biased. Look at, kind of like what Chris said on Friday, look at it from other people's perspectives.
True.
I've never seen coverage of an athlete under any circumstances like this the way it was with Brock. Mr. Irrelevant, super quiet, you know, very, he's into his, like, I think, unless I'm wrong, I think the thing he's been most vocal about other than just playing football has probably been his faith.
Right.
And I'm not a religious guy, but I completely respect stuff. Like, good dude, you're grounded. You've got a set of morals and ethics and blah, blah, blah. And you're trying to be a role model. Like, I respect that. Yeah. I respect the heck out of that.
A lot of good stuff about that.
So here's this quiet, humble kid whose teammates not love him, adore him, who comes in, has this ridiculous record. His first year, gets knocked out of the NFC Championship game and avenged that and then some the following season in Philly, and then is a couple of possessions away from being a Super Bowl champion and losing to Patrick Mahomes, who has had the best start of any quarterback ever, and a dynasty in the Chiefs.
Yeah, and all the while, like we talked about earlier, Justin Fields and then even Mac Jones and his own teammate, Trey Lance. All these guys that have been drafted in the last couple of years are either backups or they've been dealt.
And if I were to say to you, after a year and a half, I'm going to give you some quarterbacks, and I want you to tell me less or more accomplished.
Okay. I think I know the answer already.
Well, here's a fun one. The first guy I'm going to start with. Who's more accomplished in their career? Brock Purdy or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
Is he?
More accomplished? I would say so.
He's never been to an NFC championship game, first off.
He has not. Shame on him.
But how many AFC championship games has he been? How many has he won? How many Super Bowl appearances?
None. But he's been to an AFC championship game.
He has been to one. He's been to I think he's been to one.
Okay.
Brock's been to two.
Right.
And he won one. I say more accomplished.
Okay.
Tua. I don't care who's on. Well, you know, Aaron Rodgers. Well, I'll give him that. Lamar Jackson, probably more accomplished, right? MVP, all that.
Yeah. Two-time MVP.
Yeah. Nobody on Cleveland. Nobody on Pittsburgh. Ooh. Joe Burrow. Probably Burrow, right? Because Burrow's been to a Super Bowl and two AFC teams.
I mean, they're basically the same track record. People are going to take Burrow over Purdy, but
right.
But if you're going credentials, they're the same.
And that's all I'm saying. By the way, this isn't me saying that Brock Purdy's better than Joe Burrow. This is just that type of a comp. They're basically the same. And, oh, by the way, Brock Purdy has a higher winning percentage. I promise you that.
But that's an interest. That's probably the comp.
That's the comp. And if Brock Purdy, and I've said this from the jump, and I say I've said it like 1,000 people said it, but if Brock Purdy was the number one pick of the draft, the 2, the 3, the 10, the 13, everybody be, oh, Brock Purdy, the
what
future.
A pick. Brr, brr, brr. Yeah.
And it's like, that's the thing that really has, we've been doing this a long time, Jason. I've never seen anything like this, and I still can't get the Sigmund Freud answer on the psychologist's couch. Why?
Right.
My best guess is that for a Mr. Irrelevant to be acknowledged, you would have to acknowledge that every team and every GM missed on this guy like 7 times.
Yeah, and people won't do that.
And people won't do that. There's a refusal to do that. And then it's like, well, he's a product of his team. Every quarterback's a product of their team. You go, well, okay, but he leads the league in air yards, and look at the ratings and this and that. Blah, blah, blah. Nah.
Yeah.
Well, he's got all these guys. But, okay. Everybody has all these guys. If you're winning Super Bowls or getting close, they have all these guys. You want to take a look at who Jalen Hurts had on offense and defense when Philly was in the Super Bowl?
Right.
Criminy. Say what you want. Okay, Patrick Mahomes. Has Patrick Mahomes ever won outside of Andy Reid's system?
No.
No, he has not. Yeah. Not one time. Not once. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
Anyways, rant over. You've got Brock Purdy, who's making, you know, $7 an hour to play top-level quarterbacking.
Really good benefits, though.
Really good benefits. But now you have Justin Fields, who got shipped to Pittsburgh for a sandwich, a conditional sandwich. Trey Lance, who was the number 3 pick.
Right.
And by the way, that's really the only way I think Niner fans can rest is just, I think we all just pretend that Trey Lance was Mr. Irrelevant and Brock Purdy was pick number 3. Because otherwise, barf.
Right.
Mac Jones. I mean,
is he even going to be?
That's the thing.
Is he going to be a starter ever again?
And if I were to say to you, Jason, one of Fields, Lance, or Mac Jones will be an all-pro someday. We'll make a Pro Bowl.
Fields, Lance, or Fields.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I do agree
I'm
with
really
you.
I'm really still intrigued by Trey Lance, but
so
you got to get an opportunity,
He's
right?
He's kind of stuck behind Dak Prescott at this point. The Niners got more for Trey Lance from Dallas than the other two teams grabbing Justin Fields and Mac Jones, who had far more starts. Now, maybe part of that's the intrigue of Trey Lance.
Now, I can't remember. Were the Niners, I guess, were they ripped for that? Were they ripped for not getting enough? They were probably already ripped because, hey, look, they moved up to get him, and this is what it cost them at the time. But, you know, cut your losses, right?
I mean, that's kind of what they did.
Yeah.
They cut their losses.
And they knew that Purdy was the guy. Like, they identified that.
At that point, it was free money for them.
Right.
And now Brock's the only quarterback from 21 or 22 that has won a conference championship and appeared in a Super Bowl.
And we're going to do this again, though. All these quarterbacks are going to get drafted from the 2023 class is still kind of intact until it's not. This year, there are going to be more quarterbacks taking that high again. It's the exercise that's just going to keep on going.
And I it still is so weird to me in a sport where you have – where knowing that how important quarterback is, and you got a guy like Brock Purdy, and it's like, look, dude, I don't need people to, like, go to the church of Brock every Sunday. I get it. Like, you – unless you're a Niner fan, but – my God, I'd like to think if Brock Purdy was on another team as a Niner fan, I wouldn't be slobbering on him like I do, but I'd be like, that's a really good story. Yeah. I root for him in every game that he doesn't play us. Like, what a great story. What a walking Disney movie. Also, most random stat of the weekend, speaking of, what the hell is Bryce Young doing at a Kings game? What was that?
It continues the streak. This is something that's happened for about 3 or 4 years where there's just like usually, and it's kind of around draft time, and they're usually with, and I don't know if that happened this time, but why did I just blank on Jordan Palmer. Brother. And I don't know if they're all attached to him, but usually like last year I remember, and I would know this because of UCLA, but Dorian Thompson-Robinson was there and a couple other drafted potential QBs. Yeah. They've had this going for a while. It's like, why are these guys?
It's so weird. One, it's so rare.
And there were two other players, and forgive me, I don't remember who they were. I think there was a Tennessee Titan and someone else. But so, then,
there was another wide receiver there.
Yeah,
too. Yeah.
And from the Bengals, I think. Yeah. And then they're like, and Bryce Young, I'm like Bryce Young.
Yeah, what is that?
The number one pick of the like.
What are you doing here? It was. Honestly, somebody somewhere's got to have a list of like. Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of, you know, Vivek likes to,
yeah,
you know, sniff around the, what am I trying to say here? He.
What are you trying to say here?
Vivek, God bless him. Vivek,
well, it's
is
fun to have stars.
That's what I'm saying. Vivek likes to welcome celebrities as his guests.
Right.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
But like, I don't even think, like, was he sitting with Vivek?
A few seats down. Yeah, down there courtside.
There's got to be a list of, like, the top rando.
That's up there.
It's like you look over there for a while. Remember, it's like you look over there. Floyd Mayweather was going to a bunch of games.
Yeah. But, and wouldn't he get, or I say friends, we're good friends, but I thought he and Isaiah Thomas had a friendship.
Yes, they did. No, yeah. They did. They had, yeah, they were, I don't know how close they were. But, by the way, just seeing what the connection is here, if there is one, Bryce Young was born in Philly, moved to Pasadena, attended modern day.
Did he go
there
from Philly to California because he got in one little fight?
One little fight as mom got scared and moved him with his, was it his grandma and grandpa? Was it his cousin?
Out to Pasadena.
Yeah, it was. Oh, his auntie and his uncle was out to Pasadena. We'll take a break when we come back. Jason, if you have a moment.
I do.
I would like to take a look at the standings.
Okay.
We actually had some predictions on Friday. And we'll follow through with those coming up. And not a lot of help from Texas. We'll talk about that more next.
They bleed black and purple. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on your local sports leader, Sacktown Sports.
On the Brock Purdy conversation from the text line at 916-339-1140. Guys, wasn't this the same issue with Brady? Taken sixth round, he was a system quarterback for the first half of his career. Really wasn't looked at as the greatest of all time until the 2017 season when he was a statistical monster. No one wanted to admit he was the GOAT for a long time. I thought about that. I don't disagree with the text necessarily philosophically. I will say, I don't think that, like, I can admit when I look at Brock Purdy, I feel like Brock Purdy is your, like, high football IQ, above average talent type of dude. Whereas, like, Tom Brady, like, he didn't have the Peyton Manning, Dan Marino gun, don't get me wrong. But, right. Like, I don't know. I have a hard time believing that Brock's going to pass for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns in a season in his career. I can admit that. But just it's just more of the, I just don't know why people are like, it's like they hate him. And like any time he does anything wrong, see system quarterback. Right. Anyways, thanks Kyrie Irving. You see that buzzer beater?
That was an incredible shot, though.
It really, really was. Yeah. And I
after Denver worked their way back, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a great day. The Bucks had already beaten the Suns earlier in the day without Giannis.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, by the way, like, so I don't know if you spent any time on that game. I didn't watch a ton of it, but saw the halftime, and I went, wow, this conversation sounds very, very familiar. So it was Michael Wilbon, Bob Myers. Those two kind of were going back and forth a little bit about, they were kind of frustrated by both teams. I think the Bucks were up 22 at the half without Giannis, and they were kind of going over the conversation like, who are these guys? Like, who are the Bucks? How are they up 22 on the Suns? And they've been up and down. And then they kind of turned to the Suns. Well, who are they? Like, I can't figure out the Suns. I can't figure out the Bucks. And I went, wow, that conversation sounds very, very familiar. Then it kind of morphed into, well, who do you trust? Really, it felt like Boston and Denver is all they ended up trusting.
Sure.
And I'm like, well, maybe that conversation is kind of what we've been saying for the just insert Kings, insert Suns, insert Bucks, insert Clippers.
Yeah.
Pick your team, Lakers, whoever they want to talk about. We always talk about the Kings, but it feels like that's kind of been a common theme. Like, they literally didn't understand either team. And at the time, the Bucks were up 22.
I was honestly a little surprised without Giannis.
Yeah.
That even though it was in Milwaukee.
They just hit him with a bunch of threes.
They did. 14 of 33 from beyond the arc. 20 for the Suns versus 24 of 41.
10 more makes, 30 more points beyond the arc.
They shot 54, 58, 100. The Bucks did.
Yeah.
But what stood out to me, Jason, from that game, and we're not going to, you know, spend any more than this amount of time on it, but two things. Number one, Dame Lillard had 31 points without Giannis. You'd accept that. Mm-hmm. You'd expect that. Bobby Portis had 31 points? Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
He had 31 points in 30 minutes. But that's not what stood out to me. Grayson Allen had 25. Bradley Beal had 28. Devin Booker had 23. In 41 minutes, Kevin Durant had 11 points on 4 of 10 shooting. That is almost impossible. And I didn't watch the game, so I'd love to go back and look, and I probably will later today. I really want to know who was checking Kevin Durant that game, because whoever that was, good for you. You're the real MVP, dude. Because that is 11 points in 41 minutes for Kevin Durant. I got to be honest with you, Jason. I got to think, for Kevin Durant's career in games that he has played 37 minutes or more, you could maybe count on one hand, at most two hands, how many times he's had 11 points or less.
Yeah, and you said, what, 10 shots?
4 of 10. Wow. 4 of 10. So it wasn't even like he was like 1 of 18 and just nothing was going in at any point. So the Bucks beat the Suns. Thank you there. Unfortunately, the Mavericks were able to beat the Nuggets 107-105. The Hawks went into L.A. and mushed the Clippers.
You know what's going on there now? Here come the Pelicans. Pelicans and Clippers could flip-flop here. They've really that top four was its own tier. Yes. Clippers have struggled a bit lately. Pelicans have been hot. That gap's closing really quickly.
Well, and you're right. The Pelicans are a game behind the Clippers. However,
only one back?
They are one back of the Clippers. But the Suns, the Mavs, and the Kings, they're 2.5 behind the Clippers. Mm-hmm. So that's starting to become a thing.
Yeah.
And then you have
by 2.5, you mean 3.5.
8, 7. No, Pelicans. I'm looking at it like this. The Pelicans are 6 back of the Thunder. And then I just go down and see that the Suns, Mavs, and Kings are 8.5 back of the Thunder. So then I just say 2.5. You're looking. Is that not the right way to do it?
Wait, are we saying back of the Clippers?
6.5, 8.5 minus 5.
But hold on. Also, I like to look at the Pelicans instead of the Clippers when I do that math too.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So as I said, Chris, they're 3.5 behind the Clippers, 2.5 behind the Pelicans.
You were saying it so confidently. I'm like, oh man, what did I do?
I was living at the 6 with the Pelicans. Thank you for that. 3.5 behind the Clippers, 2.5 behind the Pelicans. What's this West is just so weird, dude. Jason, I'm going to go down the just real quick.
The Rockets.
So the Rockets have won 5 in a row.
Here they come.
All of a sudden, the Rockets are carry the 3.5 behind the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to go start with the Thunder and go down in order. So the Thunder have won 2 in a row.
Okay.
The Nuggets have lost their last game. The Wolves have won 2 in a row. The Clippers have lost 2 in a row. The Pelicans have won 2 in a row. The Kings have lost their last game. The Mavericks won their last game. The Suns lost their last game. The Warriors won their last game. The Lakers have lost their last 2. And the Rockets have won their last 5. It's alternating the whole way down. Yep. It's so close. You got your cluster of 3 at the top. I'm comfortable in saying now that you have your cluster of 5 in the middle. Granted, 3.5 is 3.5, but we still got time.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you have this cluster of 3 at the 9, 10, and 11 with the Rockets saying, hey, we may not be done yet. Did that 5-game winning streak, though, that start with the Kings?
It might have. It's got to be close to it, right? That was a week ago. Maybe they had won a game before that, but
it's going to be a it's going to be an interesting end of the year.
That's why you got to beat a team like Memphis tonight.
You have to at this point, dude. It's like, come on, man. Can we not screw around? No more bananas in the tailpipe.
Yes.
Can we just get out there and find that effing dog, like Miss Lippy said to Billy Madison? Like, we got to do it. Remaining strength of schedule, Jason. Sacramento, we said they'd be out of the top 10 probably after playing the Knicks. They are at 10. They have the 10th most difficult strength of schedule remaining. Phoenix, number 2, the 2nd toughest. Oklahoma City, the 7th toughest. New Orleans, the 9th toughest. The Clippers, the 13th toughest. Minnesota, 15. And then we go all the way down. Lakers, 22nd. And Golden State, 26th. Dallas, the 29th. Only one team has an easier strength of schedule the rest of the way. And, of course, it's who it should be. Boston? Boston has the easiest strength.
Well, part of that is they don't have to play themselves.
That's what I'm saying,
they
man.
That record up there. But, yeah, good for them.
Boston's toughest games remaining. The Thunder once, the Bucks twice, the Pelicans once, the Knicks once, the Kings once. I'll tell you one thing. I would love to see a full-strength Bucks team against the team we played Saturday at that strength.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a fun game. That's, my God, if it's the healthy Bucks versus the healthy Knicks somewhere in the playoffs, that's going to be a blast of a playoff series.
Yeah.
Also makes you wonder with Tom Thibodeau, I get it, champagne problems, but I forget. Robinson's out for the year, right?
Yeah, Mitch Robinson, but Randall's
what happens
come
when
back,
Randall comes right? back? What do you do?
Move. They won't play the 3 guards. Move DiVincenzo back to the bench, probably.
And of course you play Randall, and of course that's what you do.
Yeah.
You just kind of, is it possible that Julius Randall could, a fantastic NBA player, but he's got to buy into what they're doing right now and come back and engage himself. Because it would be the weirdest thing in the world if he came back and all of a sudden sometimes you just want to mess with what you got.
Right.
And I think right now they've got something pretty cool going on in New York. We saw that on display. And again, I'm not trying to little the Knicks, but what does that even mean?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, Hey.
It's
our guy Hazeltine. The voice of the Grizzlies. Used to be on the Net Show. He's going to join us. Eric Hasseltine next.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
All right, welcome back. Is Chris Efforts, Eric Hasseltine. Oh, we got him. All right, joining us right now, play-by-play voice of the hated.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I hate these guys.
You wow.
Just everything about them.
Even their play-by-play voice?
No, not him.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of anything bad. former KCKer, former voice of UC Davis.
Yeah.
Whenever I have him on, since you and I started doing the show, I go back to being like the little kid again, on with my 2 older brothers. And the king of outkicking coverage, I've always said. God bless him for it. Gotta wonder why. The one, the only Eric Hasseltine. Good morning.
Well, first of all, I didn't know your head could get any bigger until I saw it on the side of the building last night coming out of Tom's after we met up with some friends. Good Lord, man.
What do you want? It's genetics, dude. I got a big head.
You walked in, the bartender said, why the long face?
Right, I said, genetics.
Yeah.
My brain goes sideways. What do you want?
Yeah, I know. No, it was cool. It was kind of cool to see you guys up there on that. That's good publicity. No, I appreciate the kind words. Thank you.
We need a new picture, don't we, though?
I didn't even know we were up
there.
No,
it's good. Yeah.
We're like,
digitally.
I feel like that's not...
Went Kane Brown, then you guys.
Yeah, it's the one where I'm in like the Red Republic shirt. And I don't know, wearing golf shirts.
Yeah, but remember the other one you had that
hated? The used car salesman one? I'm wearing a button-up.
Yeah.
Anyways, how are you, buddy? We'll get to stuff, but you know, you got a lot of, you still got a lot. There's a lot of Hazeltiner still here. A lot of people just loving you. Eric's coming on. They're excited. They remember you. How's life? Are you now officially like, how long ago did you finally consider yourself, or do you, a Tennessean?
I don't.
No, you're still a Californian?
I'm a gypsy. Well, this is home. I float. I've lived there longer than anywhere, singly. Because here I split time between Walnut Creek and Sacramento. So in one actual city, I've lived in Memphis longer. I'm good to answer your question. I'm good. Just kind of rolling through as we go. It's been 23 years. I was thinking about that when we landed today and I saw the new Costco out where the old arena used to be and all the new development. And, you know, people were asking, they always like to ask questions. Well, what's that? I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea what that is. It was not there when I was here. I have no clue. I can't tell you. I got nothing for you. So it's been a minute. Yeah, I thought about that and thought about the fact that a couple of my friends who hadn't had children when I left now have kids that are graduating college. So I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
Avery's going to college the year after next, Eric.
Yeah, mine's a sophomore at Santa Cruz. Jeez, yeah, it happens before you know it. And
Banana slugs.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, I was happy for her. I'm super proud of her. That's where she wanted to go. She did apply to my alma mater and Jason's alma mater, but really wanted to go to Santa Cruz, and that fit her better, and that's where she got in. And I was, as I told her, I said, it's not my 4 years. My 4 years are gone, so you go where you want to go. So you're not going to hurt my feelings if that's where you want to go. And so she's there, and then, you know, just raising my son out in Memphis with his mom and stepdad, and that's a lot when you're on the road a lot. But he's a great kid and super proud of him too. So yeah, life's good. I can't complain. They still pay me to watch basketball, and when they tell me to stop, I'll figure something else out to do. But hopefully that doesn't stop anytime soon.
I was thinking the same thing about that, Eric. How old's your son now? He's got to be getting up there.
He's 12.
Wow.
I hate him. I hate him because he's taller, better looking, a better athlete.
That's not a challenge. That's not being taller.
It's really not. Yeah, his mom is 5'10", so he got some of those genetics. And the ones that skipped me, because my dad was over 6, so I am vertically challenged. I was told by somebody that they appreciated, though, the fact that I didn't say I was 6 feet tall. I said I'm like 5'9", 5'10". I'm like, at least you're honest. I'm like, yeah, with shoes even. So, no, he's great. He's doing everything that, you know, boys do. He plays basketball. He plays baseball. Played football, kind of gave up on that. But, you know, it's fun raising a little athlete. It's also a chore because you're running them to every known practice whatsoever. But it's great. He's awesome. I've gotten to spend more time with him this year than ever because we homeschooled him for a year or two and just kind of figuring out what we want to do moving forward. And for me, it's been awesome. I get to spend the days with him when we're at home. And so that's better because there were years where I felt like I never saw my kid with this crazy job that I have. And I like it. I like it a lot. So yeah, things are good. not the season for the Grizzlies for the first time in, you know, 4 years. They're going to miss the postseason, and or, you know, maybe even five, I think, if you had the COVID year where they went to the bubble. But, you know, look, they these things happen. You can't control them. You know, it's a tough deal to watch guys go down. It was almost like laughable at one point where in 4 nights you lost 4 guys like for long periods of time. You're like, okay, come on. This is now absurd. It went Ja Morant, Marcus Smart, Desmond Bain, and then Jake LaRavia. And in the midst of that, Luke Kennard got banged up too. And you're just like, what are we doing? So, I mean, it's they are They have a serious possibility of having 50 different starting lineups this year.
Wow. That's insane. 50.
Yeah.
They're already at 41, and tonight maybe 42.
How is it with the fan base out there? Because Memphis, you know, historically not as bad as the Kings, but certainly has struggled much with exceptions. And then, you know, you had the grit and grind and all that, and that was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then Ja comes in, and it's just you guys are the next big thing. And I'm curious how the fan base is out there, because I you know, you try to transfer it out here and think and go, well, I feel like if it was our fan base, they'd be like, well, the bright side is that, you know, everyone's heard it once, so if you're looking through rose-colored glasses, it's all right. We are currently right smack there in the lottery, and maybe it's one of those we get a beautiful lottery pick we have no business being in based on the talent. Everybody comes back healthy next year, and now all of a sudden it's back off to the races. Does that help kind of buoy them, or is it all, you know, everyone's freaking out?
I wouldn't say they're freaking out. The difference is that we've battled since I've been there and still battling it, the city's relationship with the University of Memphis. And it's not really a battle in our eyes. I mean, it's two different games. The college game and the pro game are just different. And there are still people that push back with resistance, fewer now than when we started, but they just say, oh, I'm only a college basketball fan. And my response is, why? Like, why don't you, if you like basketball, why don't you like basketball played at the highest level? If you like basketball, why don't you like the best players in the world? You can like college. I'm all for it. I love college basketball. But it's just different. It's played different. The talent level's different. So there's still a little bit of that. I think the frustrating thing for people is that there's a chip on their shoulder there. And I don't mean it in to be super negative, but everybody just goes, you know, it's Memphis. We can't have nice things is kind of their phrase. And you lose Steven Adams at the beginning of the year, and you lost Brandon Clark last year. And obviously the stuff that happened with Ja last year was a year where people truly in January believed they had a chance to win a championship. And it's probably the first time in this franchise's history where not just people that were looking through the world through grizzly colored glasses, people in the league. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people came up and said, yo, you guys might win the whole thing. And my response to that, cause it was happening at midway, like, let's pump the brakes just a smidge. It's game 42. There's a lot that can happen. And unfortunately that turned to be true. When you lost Adams and Clark last year, that was massive. That was how the Lakers just had a distinct advantage on the interior. Obviously, LeBron's always an advantage, and they just couldn't – when you got stops, you couldn't get the ball. And that made a huge difference in a couple of those games, and that's all it takes in the playoffs, as you guys know. So I think they're looking at this year as there's nothing they could have done about this. They're getting to look at players. You know, we're getting to look at a young man named G.G. Jackson that was on a two-way deal after being a second-round pick who right now should be playing for North Carolina. He reclassified, and this has been the bright side of it. Vince Williams, one of the Grizzlies that wasn't playing a lot, finally got a chance to play and showed he's capable of having a roster spot and contributing. Those are the positives. But the negatives are there are nights you go out and you don't have it, and these guys fight, and I think the city respects that, because the one thing that everybody says, you guys compete every night, which we're closing games though with four guys that started the season in the G League against the Clippers, who are closing it with four Hall of Famers. It's a hard mountain to climb. So they've been okay with it, but I mean, I think everybody now is curious as what you're going to do with the draft pick, because apparently all these people are draft experts that read all the boards, and they say, well, there's no bigs at the top of the draft, so do we need to add another wing, or do we need to trade the pick? And I'm like, you know, there are guys that have keys to their offices that make really nice salaries that are paid to make those decisions. Why don't you just relax and let them do that? Because so far they've done a pretty good job since they've taken over.
Yeah, Eric, I'm thinking about the lot that they're set here, and it, to me it does still seem like a good spot to be in. You guys were the 2 seed last year, You know that. The West is better this year. Kings are experiencing some of that where they were the 3 seed, and now they're kind of scuffling in that 6, 7, 8, 9 range. But you know, getting Ja back and Bain and Jackson and Smart to begin next year with the guys that you're developing, do you feel like, even as good as the West was this year, that they could just bounce right back to maybe even the top half of the Western Conference next year?
That's you sure hope so. You can see it potentially if you want to look positively at everything. You can see it. They stay healthy, and you know they focus on the important things. The development of some of the young guys that I just mentioned will certainly be a benefit. The question is, can you get the guy to replace Steven Adams? Because when you look at the upper level teams, obviously we know Denver with Nikola Jokic, and they've won a championship. You look at the interior for Minnesota, and they have those two big guys. And I would expect this injury for Karl Anthony Towns isn't a long lingering thing. But when you have Towns and Gobert, that's a big factor down there. For you guys, you have, to me, the most versatile big man going. And this was a guy that when he came out of Gonzaga, I was hoping the Grizzlies would get. There were a lot of mock drafts that had him coming to Memphis. And I'm like, if we were able to get Domantas Sabonis, that would be a massive step in the right direction. Unfortunately, Orlando grabbed him first. He went to OKC. We all know the rest is history. You guys have that. And then you look even with Oklahoma City, and Chet Holmgren is not a traditional big man. They're a big basketball team. We just saw them. They don't have a guy on their roster under 6'4". And if you think Lou Dort plays like he's 6'4", you're kidding yourself. He's built like a fire hydrant. And maybe Isaiah Joe, one of their guys coming off the bench. But they are so long and so athletic and so deep. And there's talk that they could shop, you know, a couple of those guys that who knows what their role is going to be, that have incredible value and get even better. So it's hard. Because Dallas gets Derek Lively. And so that piece in the middle is lacking right now. Because what Steven Adams gave the Grizzlies, it was a couple of things. One, just a monster screen setter that frees up your ball handling, you know, playmaking point guard who's as athletic as anybody in the league when he's healthy. Two, it freed up Jaren Jackson to go just roam and do what he does, which is find shots, block them, get in passing lanes. And he won the Defensive Player of the Year because of it. He was your best pick and roll defender because of his size, and he was your best offensive rebounder. And then you lost your second best in Brandon Clark, so that really hurt the team. Now, Clark, we'll see how he comes back from the Achilles. All signs seem to say that he's going to be just fine, but, you know, that's a scary injury. So that's where the debate right now lies for them is how, if you get back to the top, who's the big man that's going to replace? So there's some guys in free agency that they're supposedly willing to make a run at. There's some guys in the draft that they would like to make a run at potentially. But, you know, Steven Adams is one of a kind. He was the glue that brought it all together. And they just felt like he may not get back to that level again. And they had a chance to get off some of the money. And so they traded him to Houston. And we'll see what happens there.
We are out of time. Never enough time with Eric. By the way, Alex Lyon for Marcus Smart. I will send that. So I think it works. Works for both teams.
No disrespect to the great Alex Lynn out of Maryland, the Ukrainian
body down low.
I think trading Marcus Smart to you guys for just about anybody not named Sabonis or Fox would not be, or Murray. First of all, I don't know if I can even talk about that. I'm probably going to get yelled at.
It's true. Careful.
Yeah, careful. Let's hit that dump button. Right,
yeah, there. Right. Yeah. Right. We'll walk it back.
Yeah, we'll walk it back. Okay. You know, all in jokes. But yeah, no, Marcus is a terrific player. We miss him.
Well, you're a terrific guy. We miss you. Look at that.
I miss you guys. I miss seeing you.
You missed me buying pizza for you so I could watch the game with you.
Luigi's was really good in that studio, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially when I had to drive like half hour out of my way so I could open the door.
Well, you know, we had what you needed, a TV to watch the game.
Eric used to look through the little window over at Madison and be like, let me see the pizza. Okay.
Make sure it's there.
Get in here.
Yeah.
This is not true. They lie to people constantly.
Now we have college.
You had to flash a $20 bill, too.
We'll see you tonight, Jason. Well, at least yes. Always good to see you and have you look at our smiling faces on the side of buildings. And good luck to you. Bad luck to your team. And we'll talk to you soon.
Keep it up, boys. I love you.
All right. Thank you too. Thank you. See you. That's Eric Hasselstein, voice of the Grizzlies. We'll take a break when we come back. Who's hot? Who's not? We'll recap 3 in the key. We got to do a three in the key, Jason. We got to do a lot of stuff in this next segment. So everybody take a deep breath because it's just a 1 minute break. We're coming back right after this.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Wait a minute. Did I just have a brain freeze? Does the voice guy say what's hot?
Yeah. What?
I just noticed that.
Yeah, he just changed it.
He just changed it?
Yeah. Oh.
It's been like that forever, yeah. Right? And I just noticed he says what's hot, and then I say who's hot.
Yeah.
Okay, well that's that. Yeah, we did that on purpose.
Yeah,
who's hot, Chris?
Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
Meow.
Last night he finished with 33 points, 15 rebounds, 7 blocks, and 7 assists. He also had the go-ahead dunk and a block near the end of the game to seal the Spurs' 122-115 overtime win over the Brooklyn Nets.
You know what a real brain twisty question is if you have time to go down the deep dive? The other day it was like, hey, if everybody was entering the draft in the entire NBA, like where would Victor Wembanyama go? We all agreed top five, maybe number one. Like you can draft anybody. He might be it. But where does Victor Wembanyama rank right now when it comes to NBA players? Is he top 20?
No. I don't think so.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but just for funsies, Victor Wembanyama this season. So forget, doesn't matter that he's 20, doesn't matter it's his rookie year, this is just as a player. 21 points, 10.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 3.5 blocks. On 33% three-point percentage, he's making just under 2 a game. I mean... I'll have to look, but he's got to be around. I mean, just the defense.
The defense is what separates him. His offensive game isn't even there yet, which is scary.
So you got 21 points, which in this day and age is, you know, he's being, hey, you score 20 points a game, but he is averaging 10.5 boards.
I don't know what it is now. I remember looking back a while ago when Sabonis is right around 20 a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was 50th in scoring.
I looked at that exact same thing last week, and he was 54th. I looked at the exact same thing you did. Yeah. Yeah, I just...
Again, good, great. I'm not even... But I would say top 20 now. No, I wouldn't say he's top 20.
He's about as good a rookie we've seen since maybe LeBron James.
Yeah, yes. But, I mean, like, do the centers right now. Just the center position.
Where is he? I think the thing that...
We're not talking future.
Yeah.
Right.
Nope. You're right.
Sabonis has had a better year.
Sabonis and Jokic have had better years.
Embiid,
sure.
Right? Has
Embiid
or was
has.
Right? I mean, you know.
Well, okay. Do you know who's had a better year, Wembanyama or Davis?
Davis.
Okay.
I think you could go to like Bam and Şengün. I mean, there's
Bam, Şengün.
All of a sudden, is he
Gobert.
The seventh center? So then you go to, you haven't even done forwards and guards. So, I mean, the future is he might be one.
I don't disagree with you. I think what's bothering me in the conversation is I don't know. I just hope I'm rating his defense and block shots properly because he's dominant when it comes to block shots. Mm-hmm. He should be the defensive. I think he should be the defensive player of the year this year.
Okay, and I know who the leader is, but what if there was somebody that was, let me try to pick a player. That's not fair, but what does the steal leader mean to you?
That's the thing. I mean.
Probably not much, right?
No, but in addition to the massive amount of blocks he has, he also has 76 steals. He's going to have 100 steals on the year.
No, I know, but so part of defense could be steals or blocks. And I don't want to say blocks are irrelevant. That's not my point. But like a steal leader, I don't know that ever gets really – look what they do for teams. So if you're like if there was one that was out and away from everybody but was averaging 15 and 5 in whatever category, like that's really good, but – what does the steals do for you?
Which is strange when you think about it, because on the surface, steals should matter more than blocks. Because
you take possession.
Because you took possession.
You could be blocking the ball out of bounds.
Block the ball out of bounds. You can block. But then also what you...
You can block to the right back to the
other team and they score.
Right.
a steal, you took possession.
Right.
But the other thing, too, that's almost impossible to quantify is, okay, but it's not just 3.5 blocks a game. It's the shots he's correct. Adjusted and the way offenses have to change around him per game.
Yeah, correct. And again, now we're back to
there's
more players on his team, but it's not really translating into that many wins.
I guess the only thing I would say, if I was making an argument, is that Wembanyama and Sabonis, it's pretty much a draw when it comes to points per game. Mm-hmm. I think Wemby's got him by like 0.5 of a point. Whatever, I'll call that a draw. Sabonis has him by 3 rebounds. And Sabonis has him by like 5 assists. That's huge.
Yeah.
Wembanyama has him by like almost 3 blocks a game. He has more steals than he has. Mm-hmm. He's an 80% free throw shooter. Domantas Sabonis right now is better than Victor Wembanyama.
Correct.
He is. It's not that big of a difference, though, I think, in the big scheme of things.
And they're
just a different type. Yeah.
Different type of players. I mean, I was really thinking when they played, I go, I want to see how Sabonis, he bullied
him. He absolutely bullied him. He took his lunch.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. Well, who's not then, Chris?
Nikola Jokic?
What?
Has this ever happened?
He had a good game for an average player, 16 points, 11 rebounds. He also shot 6 of 16 from the field in the Nuggets, 107 to 105 loss to the Mavericks.
Trash. Just trash. I love that Sabonis, by the way, I did say this on Friday, that was my big alarm game for Sabonis' double-double streak to stop.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't have the assist, but then again, he had 2 assists, which was like half of the team's made baskets, basically. That was it. That would be a very difficult team to get a triple-double on. Very difficult. Yeah. And we got to recap that, by the way. 3 in the key, Kings, Knicks. This will be very interesting. We had a number of things that were keys to the game, if you will. Let's see how we did. John Tesh, take it away. And we'll run through these here real quick. Jason Ross.
Okay, we asked because we knew it would be a low-scoring game. How many points would the Kings score? Dave, you said 105. I said 116. Chris said 110. The correct answer was 91. Dave, you were the closest.
I nailed it by 14 off.
We were highlighting Josh Hart and his rebounding ability along with Sabonis. We wanted their rebounds. Dave, you said 10 for Hart, 15 Sabonis. I said 14 Hart, 16 Sabonis. Chris said 9 Hart, 13 for Sabonis. Hart had 13. Sabonis had 14.
Mm.
We're all in the general area there. Lastly, random stat.
Random.
Dave, you said there would be a technical foul on Tibbs. There was not.
There was not.
I said that there would be triple doubles by both Sabonis and Hart. That did not happen.
That did not happen.
But
double doubles, though.
Chris Verlant said Harrison Barnes would score 14 or more points. He had 16.
He had 16.
That's more than 14.
And they fall to 16-4 when Harrison Barnes scores 15 or more points.
Good stat.
How about that?
Would you like to do one for today?
Let's do one for today. Re-rack. La, 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 la.
All right, Dave, how about you pick a category for us to start things off today?
All right. Let's go with, I was going to say a rando, but...
We have rando to finish.
Let me make sure I got
random.
Okay. Guy not named Jaren Jackson or Desmond Bain. That is, who will be the third high scorer on this team? In other words,
non-Jackson or Bain.
Non-Jackson or Bain.
Scorer.
Who will have the I'm going to go with, GG Jackson.
Okay.
Who will probably have 47.
I'm going to go with Luke Kennard.
Luke Kennard. And Chris Verlod for the win.
Wait, who can't we pick?
You can't pick Desmond Bane or Jaren Jackson. So out of them, who's the Grizzlies' leading scorer?
G.G. Jackson.
Yeah,
I don't want to be the same one as you.
Wow, I am piggybacking Chris all over the place.
All right, Chris.
Kind of weird.
Chris, how about you pick a category for the second of our 3 in the key?
Combined points of Kevin Huerter and Keon Ellis.
Ooh.
Dave?
I will say 18.
I'm going to say 14.
I'm going to say 16.
I need Kevin Huerter to just let's break out. You know what, dude, go for 30 tonight.
Did you see, I think it was his first shot attempt. It was really early in the game. where literally the description G-Man said there was, I mean, like,
nobody
when people say,
near him from the near corner.
Yeah, so not only wide up, I think the closest defender was literally in the paint, and they had the decision to make, like, well, I can close out, but there's no way I'm going to get there in time, so I'm just going to stay in the
just
paint.
Just let him.
Herter caught it, dribbled, took a breath,
yes.
Set his feet.
Read then, the comics.
And missed it.
Vivek was closer to him than yes. the nearest defender. And yeah. I was like, God dang, dude. Come
all
on.
Right. Random stat for you, Dave.
Random stat for me. Give me a 40 burger for Desmond Bane.
40 points for Bane. I'm going to say for the second straight game, the Kings are going to outscore their opponent from the line. They hadn't done it for 17 in a row, and now they've did it against the Knicks.
Oh,
see if they can do it two in a row.
God,
Chris,
you went there.
Keegan Murray will have four or more three-pointers.
Please do. God, there were a couple against the Knicks, too, where it was.
They needed them.
They needed them. And they
make
just
the big shot.
And by the way, am I wrong in saying this? When you go back and you look at that Knicks game, like, all credit to them, defense, all. Kings missed more than their share of wide
absolutely.
Open shots, too.
Absolutely.
Like, what is that? Are you just like, is that like two for flinching? You're just waiting? Like, you think there's going to be good defense? Yeah. All right. Frankie's in the green room right now, powdering up. He will join us, Sacktown Sports Kings Insider, next.